Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
From Matt on Twitter, I would definitely draft my future franchise quarterback, but I wouldn't give up three ones and one of my best players for anybody in the NFL. Anybody? What about Patrick Mahomes? Come on, man. If Patrick Mahomes required eight first-round picks and half of your defensive front, I would do it. I get it. Like, it would be much easier at 19 if you feel like Kyle Trask or Mac Jones or somebody else, you know, you've evaluated them as like the next big thing. Look, neither one of them is a Mahomes type or a Deshaun Watson type or a Russell Wilson type or Aaron Rodgers, just in style. You know, both of those guys are true pocket passers, big dudes, good arms, good anticipation, throws, Trask, I love the way he hangs in there and throws with great anticipation and is accurate, but he's got no mobility at all. I think they want a mobile quarterback. Anyway, the question here is, simply put, do you want Washington to be aggressive and get their franchise quarterback at any cost, really, this offseason? Especially if it's Watson. Stafford would obviously be a lot lower on the cost side. But if Watson were available, I'd want Watson before Stafford. Simply put, Watson's much better, and he's 25. Stafford, I think, and I've been a big fan of Stafford, is a really good quarterback. A really good quarterback would be the best quarterback this franchise has had, really, as a starter, since Joe Theismann, maybe. But would only require a first rounder somewhere in that neighborhood. I would do that in a heartbeat. 301-230-0980. Chris Russell coming up. Ross Tucker coming up. Let's go to Ricky. Ricky, go ahead. Ricky, you there?
Am I connected?
That's Robert. Robert, go ahead.
I talked about the Watson thing yesterday. I think you're a year early over there. I think your personnel probably...
What do you mean early? What does that even mean? How can you ever be early for an elite franchise quarterback?
No, Kevin. The personnel that the team currently has as a contender, I think it's maybe slightly better than a 500 team, and I don't think losing assets to get a quarterback in is going to make a significant benefit. How about somebody like Sam Darnold? There's a rumor he may be available. Do you think he's a good quarterback? I do.
I do, but I'd rather have Matt Stafford.
Tua
Tagovailoa might be available, but he's not going to be available unless they get Deshaun Watson back.
Yeah, I'm not sold on Tua, but I think Sam Arnold has a lot more, obviously, a longer potential than Stafford would have. But you could be, it depends on what you could get Darnold for. Would you give up the 19th for him?
No.
You wouldn't do that. Would you give up 2 seconds?
I would consider. Oh yeah, would I consider 2 seconds for Darnold? I guess. I mean, I like okay. Darnold. You know, there are a couple okay. of quarterbacks that could be available that I do like. You know, okay, you know, you've listened to me long enough. You know, Stafford would be my number one. Darnold's much younger, and there's a lot less known about Darnold. Tua Tagovailoa, I don't know what I saw this year. I don't know that Miami loves it after a year. Look, they would be a prime candidate if Watson were actually legitimately available. Some think Miami at 3 overall could take a quarterback, that they could take Justin Fields or Trey Lance or the BYU kid.
Okay, I believe that they should, you say aggressive, it depends on how aggressive is, but they certainly should keep their eye out for what might be available. But I don't think I think you're a year early to make a big mega deal with what we've been discussing on guys like Watson.
Yeah, but so the problem Robert, is if Watson's available this year, he's not going to be available next year. This would be the most unique availability in NFL history, certainly in recent history. That an elite top five quarterback's available to be traded for at 25 years old. It doesn't happen.
I guess I'm trying to look at this in a realistic, what could possibly happen. I don't think the Watson thing would ever happen with Washington.
I don't either. This is sports talk hypothetical. I don't think Watson's going to be dealt, personally.
Okay, thanks. But there's some realistic...
Sorry, shit. Shoot, I didn't mean to cut him off. Wanted him to finish. Greg, finish it up for us.
Hey, Kevin. I agree with the previous caller because it's kind of like a year early. But wouldn't we just become the Texans? Because the Texans gave away a bunch of players, and we in the worst division, and we don't have elite level talent. So wouldn't we become the Texans?
No, we're much better defensively than the Texans are. Even if we had to give up one of our key defensive players, we're better defensively than the Texans were.
You really think so?
Because 100%.
From what I heard, as far as we still struggle with certain things like stopping the run and different things like that.
Here's a question for you. Would you rather be the Texans right now that have to build a team around Deshaun Watson or be a team without Deshaun Watson that needs to find Deshaun Watson? What do you think is easier?
I would. If I'm the Texans, I would rather have Deshaun Watson.
Me too.
Okay. All right.
Me too.
Now, can I add something to that?
Sure.
Okay. Now, even with having Deshaun Watson, I would rather see the model like Seattle, Kansas City, where they built their team up and they got the quarterback on the quarterback was the
Me
last
too.
Team.
Me
That's
too.
The way I would, yeah, but I know what you're saying, a hypothetical. If that's the quarterback was the
Me
last
too.
Team.
Me
that's
too.
The way I would, yeah, but I know what you're saying, a hypothetical. If that's the case, and you can get one because based on the teams that's been in the playoffs and that are in the playoffs now, you need an elite level quarterback. That's what it basically says. So yeah. I understand where you're going with it, and it's a great question to ask.
Thanks. Appreciate the call. Okay. Look, I would much rather do it that way. I'd much rather trade up and take the next Mahomes. I'd much rather be able to take the next Russell Wilson in the third round, obviously. You know, you get the rookie deal and you don't give up anything to get him. It's just very hard to do it that way. Like it's, you know, we know we've drafted a quarterback twice in the first round over the last 7 seasons. And it hasn't worked out. It wouldn't stop me from continuing to go for it in the draft. It wouldn't. Chris Russell next with the latest on the Martys and the Martins, Herney and Mayhew. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980, team980.com. Lots going on. Season ended a week and a half ago at the hands of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Bucs advance. We're going to talk 2 championship games with Ross Tucker coming up here in 20 minutes. Jeremy Fowler will be our guest at 8:25. He wrote that story that I've already referred to this morning on Deshaun Watson. Very interesting. It's a very interesting situation there. Very unique, too. Chris Russell joins us right now. Russ the Rooster is hosting Afternoon Drive right now for 3 to 7, so tune in for that. And obviously, Chris and I have worked a lot together over the years. And I know that you've, you know, been a little bit all over the GM story. And we've all talked about it, you know, in recent weeks and months. I had a sense mid-season that Kyle Smith was not going to be the GM. I think you did, too. Now we've heard Marty Herney's hiring is imminent. And now Martin Mayhew. His hiring is imminent. So what's the latest and what are their positions?
Good morning, Kevin. First of all, thanks for having me. From what I was told late yesterday afternoon, which is the last update I had, that part was still unsettled. And, you know, one source told me that a lot of this is by text, so it's sometimes hard to get, you know, and to make sure that everybody is understanding exactly what you're asking. You know, I had originally asked, you know, one source that was directly involved in this, you know, if it would be Mayhew as the GM and Herney as the, like, senior level executive, right? And this was, I think, on Monday morning, because I've been kind of reporting that they were definitely going to add two GM types and that Mayhew and Herney were going to be the two guys. It was just a matter of roles. But all along, everyone had just reported on Herney, and then Mayhew just kind of, you know, again, came back onto the radar screen. So I had been told, no. It was Herney as GM, and Mayhew would be added in a different role, perhaps an assistant GM role. But yesterday, an indication from somebody involved came that my original inclination was correct about Mayhew possibly still being the GM and Herney getting a different role. Now, again, talking to multiple people here, what I know is it's still unsettled and it's still not official and it's still crazy and it's still going on. But there is a possibility that it's not going to be Marty Herney as GM and Mayhew as just some undetermined title. Things could still change is the indication that I got yesterday. But, you know, either way, both are likely, very likely, to come here as they just pen, you know, the contract negotiations and all the legal stuff. And it's further complicated by the fact that the building's closed.
Right. Yeah. The Washington football team's had a bunch of COVID issues here this week. So can we all be comfortable that Ron Rivera is leading this decision-making process and that he will make the hires that he wants to make and not make the hires that he doesn't want to make?
Yeah, and here's the thing. Yes, he's got more stroke now, I believe, than he had when he even took the job a year ago, Kevin. And that happens when you look, they didn't win a lot of games, but they won a division title, right? And he navigated an absolute, you know, battlefield, and that would be light. So, yes, I believe so, which is interesting, you know, because all this talk about Kyle Smith and, you know, by the way, like one source that I talked to late last night, you know, keeps referring to today as a big day, you know, like won't tell me what exactly is going on, but like I would expect, you know, like more stuff to happen today, you know, but specifically about Kyle Smith, you know. Look, he chose not to interview him, right? And I get why he's not interviewing him. I don't like that Kyle Smith is not likely to be a part of this organization much longer, whether it's now, today, 3 months from now, after the draft, whatever. I don't like that part of it. But I do like the fact that Ron knew what he was looking for. Ron knew what he wanted. Ron knew he wanted somebody to be on the same page as him, somebody to look at football players essentially the same way as him. And even if they didn't look at the football players the same way, Kevin, it's very important. You know this. You know this because you've
been around this game for a long time. You talk to people, you know, you're tight with Shanahan and whatever. When you're not on the same page as other executives, as other top executives, that's really hard to be successful long term. And even if you disagree with people, that's fine. That happens all the time. But it's how you repair that disagreement, how you mend those fences, how you kind of move forward. And that, I think, was very important to Ron, to surround himself with people that he knows, i.e. Marty Herney. Now, you say, well, what about Martin Mayhew? They've never worked together. Yeah, but they were represented by the same people, right? So they know each other through that circle. They've been around the league together. They've talked at league meetings. They've talked when their teams respectively have met. I mean, so they know each other and they feel like, you know, they can be on the same page. And for whatever reason, even though Ron promoted Kyle Smith, it just didn't seem that they were on the same page exactly. And that happens sometimes, right? One's 35 and one's 58. You know, you're not always going to see things the same exact way.
We're talking to Chris Russell. I'm actually, and I mentioned this earlier in the show, and I mentioned it on my podcast yesterday. I just can't personally summon up the energy to hate any of this. And many of the fan base can that I've heard from. I would estimate that, you know, 70 to 75% of the fans aren't happy about the possibility that Herney's going to be the GM. And the reasons right. are not unjustifiable. You know, he doesn't have a sterling resume in terms of his record. He's 65 mm-hmm. years old. And a lot of the fans, let's face it, a lot of the fans are concerned that they're letting the next McVay, LaFleur, Kyle Shanahan leave the building and Kyle Smith. So I get all that. But I personally, my position is, I sort of trust in Ron as long as he's making these calls. Now, with respect to Mayhew, how much do you think Doug Williams had a say in pushing Mayhew on this? Because I think his role is very interesting in the organization right now. It's always been sort of, I think, overblown title-wise with respect to his true decision-making authority, yeah. which has been unfortunate. But he was a teammate of Mayhew. He's a friend of Mayhew's. How much do you think Doug Williams was involved in this Mayhew path?
You know, it's a great question. I have not talked to Doug about specifically that, but the last time I did talk to Doug about, you know, about something like this, quite honestly, it was about the Dwayne Haskins thing when it came, you know, what is speculated or reported by somebody that he actually pushed for Ron to keep, you know, Haskins, and Doug was adamant, and so were many, many other people that simply was not the truth. So, you know, Doug, my understanding is, you know, certainly Doug is a voice of reason, and certainly Doug can be, you know, asked or can, you know, can kind of give a suggestion here and there, but clearly he's not making any decisions at this point. So, yeah, I mean, maybe they reached out to, you know, Doug and said, hey, Doug, what do you think about Martin Mayhew? But again, I think it goes beyond that. I mean, I think you look at the track record of Mayhew, you know, and fans are going to look solely at record, right? And that's not fair. That's not fair with Herney. That's not fair with Mayhew. Listen, guys, you know, injuries happen, plans. We all know things can go haywire and why you don't judge a guy solely by record, right? Are we going to judge Ron by the fact that he's a head coach 10 years and 7 out of those 10 years he's got a losing record? No, we're not judging Ron by that, right? So why are we going to judge Marty Herney or Martin Mayhew specifically just by record, right? You have to look at the overall picture and what they bring. And I think it helps to have, you know, lineage and history with this organization. There's no doubt about it. It helps that Martin Mayhew has been around the league and has done, God, how many different positions? You know, not just general manager. And the fact that he, you know, that he just kept grinding and kept working even after getting let go of in Detroit. Kevin, you know, he bounced to the New York Giants, to the San Francisco 49ers, doing different roles. You know, that takes like a certain level of, I don't want to say sacrifice, but it takes a certain level of humility to not just be like, nope, I'm a GM, I'm leaving unless I get a GM role. And I think Ron likes that. I think Ron likes the idea that somebody can come here, you know, and be a part of a team, be a part of an organization, and not just be like, you know what, screw you, I'm a GM, and if you don't like that, and if you don't hire me for that, I'm not coming, you know. So I think all of it mixes in, but really I think, you know, again, there's just a lot of reasons why this makes sense. I know Ron really, really, really struggled. I mean, Kevin, I really struggled with the administrative stuff and all the changing rules in 2020. I mean, he would have struggled anyway this year because of all that, because of being, you know, the top guy for the first time in his career. But 2020 just and COVID added just so many enormous wrinkles to it, along with his cancer, that I think he wants to insulate himself in case something else comes up, right? I mean, in case, you know, different protocols are here, in case something comes up with his health, that he knows not just one guy, you know, but two guys now could potentially run this front office and run this organization. And also, don't forget, and I know this is a long answer, I'm sorry, Marty Herney does, I've heard Marty Herney does not want to do a lot of the administrative stuff. So maybe by bringing in Mayhew, you know, that kind of balances out between those guys and Rob Rogers, and they get two, you know, again, former and now, you know, current GM types or whatever you want to label them as. So to me, I think this is a slam dunk, and I don't think people should look at records. So I'm with you.
Well, I mean, the Herney thing, the Herney thing, the years that he wasn't in Carolina were the most productive Carolina years, and it was with all of his players.
He set it up. Exactly.
Yeah. I also think it's really important that people understand that, at least for now, as long as, you know, the dumb owner stays out of the way, this is coach-centric. This is the New England, the Kansas City, the Seattle model right now. Ron Rivera's in charge. And I loved your point about Mayhew, because I think it's exactly what Ron Rivera wants. He wants grinders that don't care about titles. And Martin Mayhew is proven to be that, you know, during his career. He's gone from GM downwards and maybe back upwards again. He is a grinder, and he is, you know, a guy that is clearly not, you know, offended by titles. I also would point out, and Chris, I think you'd agree with me, the one thing about Washington's front office here over the last year, it's been light. Like, if you compare it to just the teams in the division, there are multiple senior titles in Dallas, New York, and Philadelphia's setup. Washington's setup right now on the football side has been Ron Rivera, Kyle Smith. Okay, in Dallas, as an example, it's Stephen Jones, it's Todd Williams, it's Will McClay, you know, all with VPs and senior VP titles. So, you know, adding Herney and Mayhew isn't like, you know, a Ted Leonsis, let's make decisions through, you know, a new wave, high-tech Silicon Valley consensus model. It's not that. It's just getting the team into a position where actually they have a comparable front office to their competitors, right?
No, that's absolutely correct. I mean, you're dead on there. I mean, you and I weren't working together again at this point, but I was screaming last offseason about how in the world, I mean, even if it was Ron's call, and it may have been, I don't know exactly, but, you know, like if Ron chose to go into this first year as him, you know, this coach-centered approach and all this stuff, with no president, no GM, no assistant GM, 35-year-old Kyle Smith is
right too much.
You know, way too much. And if Ron did that, it was kind of frustrating. You know, we never kind of clearly got an answer on that. But maybe it wasn't Ron. Maybe Dan said, you know what, I want you to, you know, kind of feel it out, determine. I don't want anybody to threaten you, whatever the situation might be. The bottom line is they've always been like, Kevin, I mean, I'll go back to, I don't know if you remember Scott Campbell, who used to run the scouting department, both college and pro. And I love Scott. Scott did a great job. I think he's with New Orleans now because things didn't work out here when they reshaped the front office. He used to be in charge of the pro and college scouting department.
Yeah, I know.
And it was on the road 120 days a year.
Yeah. And, well, they did have a bubble. They went, they were on the cheap. They were an on-the-cheap franchise, which is so ironic because of the overspending on aging veteran players for a decade that had nothing left. You know, hey, I've got 30 seconds. I got 30 seconds. Give me your prediction right now. How does it play out? Herney, Mayhew, Titles, Stokes, and Kyle Smith. Just give me your best guess right now.
I think ultimately Kyle leaves, whether it's now or 3 months from now. I think he winds up in the Rams or the 49ers. I think Stokes takes over personnel. I think ultimately Mayhew will be the assistant GM and Herney will be the GM. I'll stay with that, but I would still say, again, yesterday a source told me that it's not absolutely settled what their roles will be.
Chris Russell, everybody. He will be on from 3 to 7. He's been hosting Afternoon Drive since Zabe left. Tune in for that. He and Solly, guests, calls, etc. 3 p.m. right here on the Team 980. I'll talk to you soon. Appreciate you getting up.
Thanks, Kev. Appreciate you.
Russ Tucker will be our guest next. Kevin Ciancio, Team 980, team980.com. Maybe just play Zeppelin the rest of the way if you don't mind. Please, Ryan. Joining the show right now is Radio.com NFL Insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. Get access to data and insights the sports books don't want you to see. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. Check out Ross's daily betting podcast, Bet Sweats, live every weekday from 10 to 12 Eastern on Radio.com. Ross Tucker, of course, is one of the hardest working men in the business. He's got great podcasts, by the way. I've listened to a lot of them at Ross or Tuck Pod and others, and he's been doing a great job on Westwood One calls and college football games this year. I heard you on a couple of those. I think you did one of the first games of the year. Correct me if I'm wrong. It was the Army Memphis? No. Who did Army open up with?
Middle Tennessee State.
Middle Tennessee State. Yeah, you did that game. I remember that because I had Middle Tennessee State for the limit, and they got absolutely annihilated. They were the wrong side in that one. And I remember the coach made an absolute, one of the worst clock management errors at the end of that first half I've ever seen. He basically let the clock run out when they had a first and goal situation. So I wanted to have you on the show to talk about the two championship games and get your opinion on Washington season, but you tweeted something yesterday, because I was thinking about this yesterday morning when I read that Philip Rivers retired, and a lot of people that have listened to my shows over the years know I've been a massive Philip Rivers fan. I just have loved watching him. I mean, going back to when he was at NC State, Ross, as a Maryland guy, those were the Ralph Friesian years, and Maryland and NC State had some big games, and was at NC State. And Maryland actually beat Rivers on senior day in Raleigh, which was a great win. But you put out a tweet and you said, would you sign up for Philip Rivers' career for your team starting right now? Hall of Fame quarterback, never missed a start, highly entertaining, lots of playoff games, etc., but no Super Bowl. Are you locking that in or taking your chances with door number two? That's such a great question and such a great sports talk hypothetical. How would you answer it?
You know, well, it's funny. Let's say I was a player on the team. Heck yeah, I would lock that in. Heck yeah, man. But it's funny. I would say if you look at the responses at Ross Tucker NFL, I'd say 75% to 80% said door number two, because they wouldn't want to know for 17 years that our team is not going to win the Super Bowl. Like, we're not going to win the Super Bowl this year. And that's sort of the beauty of sports. That's what gets people to keep coming back. It's that hope, because the reality is, for, I don't know, Kev, 20 franchises, you'd much rather have Philip Rivers. Like, your next 17 years would be way better for 20, maybe even 25 franchises. You're locking in Hall of Fame caliber quarterback play for 17 years, a guy that never misses a start and is top five in yards, completions, touchdowns. So think about that. Like, think about where the Washington football team has been over the years. Can you imagine, like, going back to my rookie year in 2001, if you could say, hey, for the next 17 years, we'll have Phillip Rivers as our quarterback, obviously that would have been way better for Washington, way better. But if you know in advance you're not going to win the Super Bowl, that people want to have that hope. Because it's just crazy to think about all the franchises that you'd much – I mean, the Bears, I can go down the line. They've never had – some of these franchises haven't had a good quarterback in forever, and you're locking in 17 years of Hall of Fame caliber play. But it's sort of like people want that lottery ticket, man. People want that chance. People want – you talked about betting. Like, people want to try to hit the parlay. They want to try to go for the big thing.
Yeah, let me advocate to all of those of you thinking about putting together some sort of four-team teaser with the two sides and the two totals. Don't bet teasers. They are called profit margin for the house. Here's a better way to look at Rivers. If you go back to the 2004 draft, who would you take number one overall? Eli, Ben, or Rivers?
So I would go Ben 1, Eli 2, Rivers 3.
Really?
I would.
Why?
I think, well, so here's the deal. Are we talking about their entire career?
We're talking about knowing what we know now. Knowing what we know now qualitatively, all right? Let's pretend we don't know the one loss percentage, but we've got to watch them play the position.
Oh, okay. Then it's Ben 1, Rivers 2, Eli 3.
I think it's really close between Ben and Phillip Rivers, too. Very close.
I don't know. I don't know that I feel like Ben's high end was really high. I think Rivers is more consistent, but Ben's high end has been really, really high, where it felt to me like Ben's been able to take over games at times and will his team to wins. Whereas it seems like I spent half my life watching Rivers at 7:10 p.m. Eastern time on the Red Zone channel, down two scores for the Chargers, coming back, and like one out of four times he would do it. The other three would be like, you know, some guy would drop a pass in the end zone.
Or somebody would miss a field goal, or he would throw a pick.
Absolutely terrible.
Yeah, he would either throw a pick or somebody would miss a field goal or somebody would drop the ball. It really, you know, people don't want to sit here and listen to Rivers. They want to talk about the two championship games. And I want to get your impression on Washington season as well, which we'll do next. But to me, he is a lock first ballot. It's not even debatable. Do you agree with that?
I do not. No, I do not. I don't think he'll get in on the first ballot.
You really don't?
Well, no, because he's going to be first of all, he'll be in the same class as Breeze, and he's not getting in ahead of Breeze, right?
Agreed.
That's number one. He might end up being in the same class as Roethlisberger. I mean, I think Roethlisberger will come back for one more year, but I don't know. So they're not going to put three quarterbacks in the same year. They're not going to put Rivers in ahead of Breeze and Roethlisberger, obviously. So you got that. And then the other thing is, I'm not so sure Eli gets in the year before. Because, you know, Eli's one year ahead. I don't know that Eli will be a first ballot Hall of Famer. I think that will be hotly debated. So if Eli's not, I don't think they're going to ever – I don't think they – you can't put Rivers in before you put Eli in. I just don't think they'll do that. So I think the next year, maybe it'd be Eli and Breeze. Or maybe it's just Breeze and then Eli and Rivers both have to wait. I don't think he'll end up being a first ballot Hall of Famer. I do think he'll be a Hall of Famer.
I didn't think of it in terms of the class. I do think, and you said that you would take him before Eli, knowing what you know. I think he deserves to get in before Eli. I think he was just a better quarterback than Eli was and had a better career. I think Eli, obviously, in two postseasons, was fabulous and had a great team and a great pass rush defensively, something Rivers really never had the benefit of when they got to the postseason. But I think Rivers was just more deserving of it than Eli. And I think Eli will get in, but I think Rivers would get in before him. But whatever. I think you're 100% right about Breeze. That's not debatable.
Yeah, I mean, I think Phillip Rivers was a better player than Eli Manning. I'd be shocked if he got into the Hall of Fame before Eli Manning because of how much they weight those two Super Bowl victories over Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Right or wrong, they just do.
Yeah. We're talking to Ross Tucker. Of course, Ross played for the Marty Schottenheimer team. That was his rookie year, undrafted free agent out of the Ivy League in Princeton. And he remembers maybe the one opportunity Dan Snyder had to get it right and didn't. What did you make of Ron Rivera's first year and the progress Washington made this year?
Very impressive. Very impressive. And Rivera was pretty much, Kev, exactly as advertised. You know what I mean? Like, just a very steady hand. You know, I remember thinking when they benched Haskins, what is he doing? Like, they're not going anywhere this year. You know, you got to find out what you have in Haskins, blah, blah, blah. Well, very clearly, they knew a lot more than I did, which is obviously normally the case and should be. They're around him every day. And I think he knew a couple things. I think, number one, he knew that Haskins wasn't going to make it. Haskins just wasn't going to be the guy. And then number two, I think he knew he was trying to establish a culture there, right? I mean, he's trying to show these guys that he's going to play the best guy. He's going to give them the best opportunity to win that he possibly could. And you can never fool the players. You know what I mean? Like, I remember, Kev, when they – I can't remember if they cut or traded Bledsoe in Buffalo when I was playing up there to go with J.P. Lossman. And we all kind of knew what J.P. was. You know, we could just tell. And I remember talking to some of the other starting offensive linemen, and it was just – it was so deflating. It was like the year before we had won six in a row. We went 9-2 down the stretch, like – and we were pumped about the next year. And then it just totally took the wind out of all of our sails. You cannot fool the players. And so I really give Ron Rivera a lot of credit for that move.
God, that's exactly what I'll never forget when Mike Shanahan told me during the 2013 season, you can't fool the players. And the RG3 thing was a fooling of the players. And he said, you lose the locker room. And I think Ron Rivera sensed that this year. He said it, you know, when it happened, Ross, he said, I've got 52 other guys that are looking at me. And I've got, you know, we had to pull the trigger. Now, I think if the NFC East had a 4-1 Philadelphia and a 3-2 Dallas at the top of it, he may have waited a little bit longer, but I think he, you know, everything sort of came together where they're like, you know, maybe we can get back into this thing with a decent quarterback. What do you think their future is at quarterback? You know, there we had a conversation earlier in the show. There was an NFC executive in a story written by Jeremy Fowler on Deshaun Watson that said Washington's going for it. They're going to be a part of the QB sweepstakes this offseason. Do you think they should be?
Well, absolutely. I mean, they have to. That's by far the biggest position and by far their biggest position of need. And as much as I love Alex Smith, we all do, I think with the injury at the end, I just think it showed a little bit what the limitations are with that devastating leg injury that he suffered. I mean, I just tweeted this, Kevin. Check it out when you get a chance, at Ross Tucker NFL. I have 17 teams as having legitimate quarterback question marks, like where we are not sure who is going to be the quarterback of that football team. Now, if you remove the Cowboys, even though Dak's a free agent, or if you say the Dolphins are going to stick with Tua no matter what, and the Jags are taking Trevor Lawrence number one, then you got 14, but you still have 14, man.
God, I'm looking at your list right now. Yeah,
it's a lot. I mean, it's a lot that have legitimate questions. Like, I don't think the guy that – I mean, now look, Detroit's probably going to keep Stafford, but I don't know that.
That would be my guy because I think he would be gettable for a first, and I think that you put Stafford on this team, Ross, and I think that they would be a legitimate NFC contender. Obviously, the Deshaun Watson thing's been a conversation. My personal feeling is that's just not going to happen. You don't trade an elite quarterback that you just signed at 25 years old. Somehow, I think they'll figure it out. I'd love to know what you think about that. But, yeah, I'm looking at your list, and there are some answers for all of these. Like New Orleans, I think the answer is going to be Jameis Winston. But, yeah, it's a big list this year. I don't know if it's unusual.
Maybe, but here's the thing. They also have Taysom Hill. That's number one. And number two, Jameis is a free agent, right?
Right.
The Saints are like $96 million over the cap.
I know.
And I wouldn't be like, I wouldn't be shocked. Ryan Pace is coaching and Matt Nagy, they're on the hot seat. Like, I wouldn't shock me that they give Jameis $20-25 million for a year. I don't know if New Orleans is willing to do that. New Orleans might just say, we'll go with Taysom.
So take a guess on Washington's answer. I mean, they like Kyle Allen, and I think they actually think that Taylor Heinicke can play a little bit. But at the same time, that's not your more likely than not long-term franchise quarterback answer. Could be, but more likely than not, it isn't. What do you think they do? If you haven't thought about it, don't worry about it.
Yeah, and they're drafting the 20s, too.
19.
So, that's tough, man. I think they're kind of in a bad spot. I don't think they can get Deshaun Watson or a Matthew Stafford. I think there'd be too much competition for Stafford and that Detroit would be able to get more. And then I don't think they're going to be able to draft one of the top guys. Maybe Mac Jones. Maybe they draft Mac Jones from Alabama. I think they're in a tough spot. They might be like bringing in like a Trubisky, which I know nobody would want, but they got to. That's the land they're going to be living in.
What's your answer on Watson? Do you think he'll be traded or not?
No, I don't. I think that they'll hire a coach that makes him happy and he'll stay. And by the way, it makes sense to do that. Hire a coach. You can fire the coach after a year or two, but that's what you need to do right now to make him happy, then do it.
We're talking to Ross Tucker. All right, quick thoughts on the two championship games. Let's start with the Packers and the Bucks. What do you see in that one?
Yeah, I mean, I think both games are going to be awesome. I really do. I'm so pumped up. I'm glad the point spread is what it is, that they think it'll be close games. I'm a machine offensively, but I wait in the playoffs. And I just think, like, Shaq Barrett and JPP going against those offensive tackles for Green Bay, we'll see. I mean, this would be so bad for Aaron Rodgers if he loses this game. It would just be bad. He's had an unbelievable year, but it would just – people would say, see, he can't get it done when it matters the most.
It would be crazy because he's one of the greatest we've ever watched. But, you know, what's interesting, I was thinking about this, Ross. The Bucs have, in back-to-back weeks, gone against a good defensive team in Washington's and really a very good defensive team, even though Aaron Donald was pretty much, you know, too injured to be the factor that he could have been. I think Green Bay, you can move the football on and you can run the football on. And if they're balanced like they were against that Saint defense, which is awesome. Look, they got four turnovers. That's why they won the game. But I think it might be easier for the Bucs offensively on Sunday. What do you think?
Agreed. Yeah, Packers don't have a great defense. I mean, Rams move the ball pretty well. I think this is like a 27-24 type of game.
Yeah, I'm looking at it.
Rams move the ball pretty well. I think this is like a 27-24 type of game.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. Snow likely before noon at Lambeau on Sunday, but ending before kickoff. All right, what about the second game? Just let's assume that Mahomes does play.
Yeah, same thing. I think the Chiefs win a close game against the Bills. Wouldn't be surprised if the Bills win, but I'm not taking Josh Allen and the Bills. You know, I just think you kind of have to walk before you run, and they've walked this year, winning their first two playoff games. I think maybe they can get the Chiefs next year. I don't see that happening Sunday.
Thank you for doing this. I always love the conversations. You do so many things. You're a true grinder, and all of it's good. At Ross Tucker Pod, are you involved in calling any of the games this weekend or not?
Yeah, I'm sidelined for the AFC Championship, but I'm
awesome.
Not really sure what that means because I'm not allowed on the sideline. So I think I'm going to get paid to sit in the third row and have a hot dog and beer, I think. I'm not sure.
Well, enjoy it. Should be a nice day at Arrowhead. Thanks, Ross, for
all
doing
right.
This,
see you, Kevin.
As always.
Bye.
Ross Tucker, everybody. At Ross Tucker NFL. That was Radio.com NFL Insider. Ross Tucker. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. BetQL is here to help us all make better bets through real, proven analytics. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. Check out Ross's daily betting podcast, Bet Sweats, live every weekday from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern on radio.com. Jeremy Fowler will be our guest at 8:25. I'm going to go a little bit more in-depth on the whole Marty Herney thing and Martin Mayhew thing when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980, Team 980.com.